B-Pod Studios.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
5 second count is underway. Lowry lobs it in safely to the hands of Anunoby. The clock hits triple zeros. And in a game fitting of the season these two teams have had, fitting of the matchup between them, not just this year, but over the last half decade, the Toronto Raptors have survived. And in a season unlike any other, about the only thing we all saw coming is the basketball inevitability of the Celtics and Raptors going the full seven games, and now it's a reality.
You puny protozoa, you're so minute you didn't know that. 98.5 Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Sean Grande, you just heard, is the play-by-play voice of the Celtics on the Celtics Radio Network. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline tonight. The Celtics Game 7 against the Toronto Raptors, in which has become a very physical and series, and the teams seem to very much dislike each other. And Sean Grande joins us on the the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Grande, hello, sir.
Good morning, man. Well, you notice, like all these in the history of the NBA, all these September playoff series get very physical. And
I don't know what it means, and I don't know if it affects anything. But just reading the two-minute report from yesterday, I mean, it was as if the refs were the only people who didn't realize that Kemba Walker wasn't fouled as he was going for the layup there with 2 seconds left in the game. That is not just a bad call, non-call. That is a series-altering non-call. And
Sean, do you call that foul? If you're the ref, do you call that?
I mean, the human nature of the NBA is that the officials, and human nature in general, is that officials don't like to make calls that are going to decide games. You don't want to put guys at the free throw line unless you're Mark Davis. We saw it at the end of that crazy Milwaukee game,
sure.
Right, with fouls being called in the final second. I think that of all the things the NBA has done, and we're talking about a time where the NBA has sort of led the world, right, in stopping play and starting up again, the initiatives, the changing of the game, the attempts to help change the world, everything the NBA has done in its history, under Adam Silver, under David Stern, I am comfortable saying that the last two-minute report might be the dumbest thing that we
did. It's pointless, right, Sean? It is pointless.
Here's the thing. How many of you feel better today, having read the two-minute report, that said Kemba he got fouled? And there's several elements of it. Number one, I think it puts the officials in a bad spot.
Yeah.
There's nothing comes of it. They don't say, you know what, we made a mistake, we're going to change the result of the game.
Exactly. But don't you think that a makeup call might be a result of this? Like a drastic one like that that affected the series.
Of course it affected the series. It did affect the series. And then my other problem with the two-minute report is that it implies that a mistake made by an official or something that happens in a game with 2:02 left in the game is less important than something that happens with 1:58 left in the game. The team sees everything, by the way. They do a report for the entire game, and teams see it, but they just make public the mistakes that may have been made at the worst possible time. So, and again, nothing comes of it. There are no, you don't get a handshake or a pat on the back for it. And I think it just creates unnecessary conversation. And I think a great example of what I'm talking about games being changed, is that I think, sort of jumping ahead to what I know people are thinking today, is that there's a lot of feeling that, man, the Celtics should have won this series already, and Anunoby hit that lucky shot and whatever, that they stole Game 3 and the Celtics should have won it because it happened on the last play of the game.
I don't think that. I think the Celtics deserve to lose. That's an important play. You can't let that happen. The Celtics deserve to lose that game.
No question. But my point is this. Everyone, the general feeling here is, man, Toronto stole that third game. Well, 48 hours before that, Anunoby hitting that shot was, 20-1, 50-1? It was an amazing pass and a great shot. Mm-hmm. Now, 48 hours before that, Marcus Smart hit 5 threes in a row, including a four-point play. If he misses any of those, just a 35% three-point shooter, who there are still people in this town that groan every time he takes a shot. He hit 5 in a row, all right? The odds of that happening were the same as Ananobi hitting that shot. And if he misses any of those, the Raptors win game two. But no one's talking about how the Celtics stole game two. And so that's because it happened earlier in the quarter, and it wasn't the last play of the game.
It's been kind of the point. Yeah, and that's been kind of my mindset. Even after they won their first two games, the Celtics, I was like, this is still going seven. I mean, there's so much talent on both sides of the ball. And on top of that, both coaches, I mean, Nick Nurse, I think, is a great coach, obviously. I mean, he's won Coach of the Year, and what he did last year was obviously respectable. But, I mean, we knew this was going to be like this. But when you take a look at tonight in a game seven, is this still up in the air, or do you believe that, you know, I think that just after a while, the majority of talent wins out? Like, you're not going to have a Kemba Walker game like you had the other day. It just seems like they've got more ways to beat you than the Raptors do.
Well, here's what's unusual. The Celtics have outscored Toronto badly in the series. They've outshot them. They've out-rebounded them. They've outplayed them. And the reason there's a Game 7 tonight is that the entire history of the league, particularly in the Eastern Conference, the last 20, 30, 40 years, is set up this way, this sort of passing of the torch thing. And what we're learning is how hard it is to take the belt off the champion. And this year that the Raptors have had, and as much as the Celtics have dominated them in the bubble, and throw in that bubble game August 7th or August 9th or whatever it is, when the Celtics were up by 40 and beat them by 30, when all the starters were playing in that game, and you had Gordon Hayward too back in that game in August. It is a really difficult thing to finish off a team that I think people forget, as good as the Celtics have looked at times in this series, that take away these games against Boston, and Toronto was beating the living heck out of everybody. The Raptors, at one point when the Celtics were up 2-0 in the series, Toronto in the previous 18 games was 0-3 against Boston and 15-0 against everybody else. Yeah. They beat everybody in the bubble. And this is not a Raptor team, as much as they've been scratching and clawing and hanging on here. This has been a dominant team. This is something I don't think people quite realize, because the Celtics have looked so good at times in the series. If the Celtics win this game tonight, this is their biggest win in a decade. Because the teams that they've beaten in the playoffs, they've beaten some good teams in the Brad Stevens era, and even in the last couple of years of the Doc Rivers era when they went to the conference finals. The Celtics haven't beaten a team this good in the playoffs since that 2010 run when they beat Cleveland and Orlando back-to-back. The Raptors have been maybe the second or third best team in the NBA all year. They had a better year than last year's team did, that, of course, won the championship. And so this is not a 45-win team that's sort of, staggering and hanging around for seven games. There's a reason they're still here, and that's because the championship DNA from last year, even without Kawhi, is absolutely there. It's embodied by Kyle Lowry, but you could see the imprint that Kawhi had on this entire team. And again, the history of this league is not about the torch getting passed, is that you have to take it. And that's sort of the beauty of the way this has played out, that it's one thing to dominate a team over six games, but these close games, the Celtics haven't pulled one out except for that Marcus Smart game. And I think that's what makes tonight so fascinating, is are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown ready to become, the stars that a lot of people think they are? Because as amazing as it is for any of us who are involved at whatever we do, we either play, coach, broadcast, whatever, you can be great in game 22 on a Tuesday night in Sacramento. But we all know, fair or unfair, what's about to happen tonight is something that we're going to remember. When I say the name Kelly Olynyk, right?
One of the first things
you're going to flash back to.
Game 7 against Washington.
Exact game, game 7 of the second round, when he had 14 points in the fourth quarter. And it wasn't, you thought there'd be this mano-a-mano game 7 thing between like Bradley Beal and Isaiah Thomas, and it was Bradley Beal and Kelly.
So you're saying tonight is the Grant Williams game? That's what you're saying.
Who knows? And by the way, he's been, that's just sort of the beauty of, the playoffs and the stage. Grant Williams missed his first 25 threes, right, in the NBA.
And now he's a sniper. He's a pure sniper now, right?
He is. what, eight of 12, I think, in the playoffs?
Yeah. He doesn't miss. Three. He doesn't miss from three now, which is hysterical that that's the way that it's worked out for that guy. But, you know, good for him. He's popping through
and
time, I guess.
Yeah. Anunoby's been amazing in the series. I mean, to some degree, what you're finding out, what you write it, people, Kemba had a rough game. Well, they went box and one at Kemba the entire first half. They didn't let him breathe. Why? Because he had been the MVP of the series through the first five games. So you could only, you have to make a choice. Nick Nurse said, all right, we're going to take Kemba away and see if they can do it without Kemba. The same way Anunoby has hit his shots. He's been great, but he's been open. There's a reason he's been open, and there's a reason that Pascal Siakam, who's an all-star, has struggled because the Celtics have focused on him, and Jaylen Brown's had this amazing series against Siakam. But that's the beauty of playing the same team every night for 2 weeks.
All right, Sean, you brought up Kyle Lowry earlier, and the Celtics and a lot of Boston teams have had their fair share of agitators. Brad Marchand, front and center for the Bruins, but Kyle Lowry is an all-star guard who really seems to get in the head of everyone he plays against. That play where he submarined Jaylen Brown and Jaylen wouldn't accept his hand to get back up. I mean, he's gotten in the heads of the Celtics, and he's hit a lot of killer shots, and in a game like this tonight, that guy worries me a ton.
Take Marcus Smart, and as dominant as Marcus Smart is as a defensive player, Kyle Lowry is basically Marcus Smart, and then as an offensive player. And this guy's going to the Hall of Fame, by the way. I mean, I don't think there's much question about it. This is probably the greatest Toronto Raptor now, certainly ever. If he's got a championship, I think it took a long time for people in the league to appreciate how good he was. But it's also, it's not just the agitation stuff and that Marcus Smart stuff that he does. It's, you saw the perfect, we've been talking about Kyle Lowry for 9-10 years, Max and I, in the league. And then for him to get to do it on that Game 7 stage, you just saw he hit every big shot. Every time the Raptors needed something. By the way, he was, in a game we're remembering forever as an instant classic. It was not an instant classic. It evolved into a classic in the later rounds of the fight. It was not a great game in the first half. It was sloppy. Guys were playing tight. And, you know, Jaylen was great early for the Celtics, and it was Lowry who was carrying the Raptors, who looked a little skitterish, right? Down 3-2, not unsure, falling behind by 12, and it was Lowry who was making all the shots to keep them in the game. And as we said many times throughout this whole thing, this could be the greatest night of the Brad Stevens era. This could be the night Jason Tatum truly takes his place as one of the young, true great young stars in the NBA. But it's going to take someone to pry that belt from Kyle Lowry's cold, dead hands to do it.
So is Cedric Maxwell still ordering mountains of food during your broadcasts in the quarantine?
It is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Like, we are going through a lot of hurdles, right, to get these games. Forget the technical thing. We have to go through, there's this, you know, health check and health forms and the security. And the first time we did it, it's sort of daunting. You're walking into the empty garden and, you know, all these light, motion-activated lights and doors that you've never seen move before because you never walk in by yourself. It's all happening. It feels like you're going to the bottom of some cave, and you're in there, and you're in your secure bubble, and an hour into the game, I look up, and Max is getting pizza delivered. So, I couldn't possibly fathom how he pulled it off, but he's one of a kind.
All right, we'll skip Bayless.
Do you have Skip on the brain at all?
All the days.
Yeah, we did an hour of Skip Bayless.
I love it when people act surprised, right? Do you believe what Skip Bayless said? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The thing is, he can't back down, though. I mean, he's got a lot of people in his orbit that are going to look at him a lot differently now.
And so. I have to say, I mean, obviously, this is an extraordinary change of subject, but here's the thing. He's entitled, as insensitive and probably inappropriate and wrong as I think so many of us understand that opinion to be, that if that's his opinion, that's his opinion.
Yes.
I think we have to stop acting like it's dangerous for someone to think it's...
No.
You know, especially now. Like, if when opinions seem to be driving our entire world, it's like, how many more people got involved in this discussion yesterday because he said that?
Well, nobody wants him fired here. We just think he's an idiot.
No. Well, it is his opinion. And beyond that, he can't back down from it because you know, he obviously thought it out, and that's his opinion. And if he backs down from it, that's fraudulent. So just stick with it. You know, defend it.
Of all the places to be having this conversation, how much courage did Fred show, you know, in these last couple of days and these last couple of months, right, about our personal frailty, okay, and things that we all deal with in real life that we're human beings. That's courage, right? And I think we all know it. So I think the kind of outrage at you feel bad more for Skip. You know, you should, man, I know no one is going to, but I think anyone with common sense, anyone with any humanity knows that these things and frailties take courage to address, not, you know, they're not to be, to deride them is from another era and another time, and they never really had a place, but certainly in 2020 they don't.
Well, that's very nice of you to say, Sean Grandy. We appreciate it. Listen to Sean and Cedric Maxwell. They'll be calling the game tonight right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Tune in to a big Game 7 from two teams that don't like each other very much. It should be a great game. Thank you, Skip. Oh, thank you, Skip. Jesus. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah. It's because Sean's
so
jacked.
Back to what you want to talk about. So.
Oh, stop it. All right, Sean, thank you so much. We
you got it, guys. It's going to be a fun night.
All right, see you later. Thank you very much.
You know who's pissed off? That would be Jim Murray, because the game is at 9 and not during the baseball reporters. I saw him tweet about that. I was like, yeah, it sucks because those the gravy days of the nice 6:30 tip-off, that is done.
Yeah.
It's all prime time from here on out, and we're all the worse for it. I don't want to wait till 9 o'clock, and I sure as hell don't want to be up at midnight, but it's gonna be a stressful one. I think I feel good about this one tonight. I do, which, of course.
The Celtics have been the better team. They should win. If they don't win, it is a massive disappointment to me. Because
I don't
they
know
were
if it's
the,
a massive
it
disappointment.
It is to me. They were the better team in 5 of the 6 games of this series. I understand what Sean was saying.
But they weren't
saying.
The better team this season.
I understand that, but forget the season. Forget how they're playing now. Forget how they played in the bubble. They beat this team the first bubble game. They destroyed them. And they were the better team for 5 of the 6 games of this series. If they lose this series, it is a disappointment. They should win.
Yeah. Yeah, they should win. They're the more talented team.
I think they should, too. That's arguable because, I mean, they're missing a starter. I mean, they're missing a starter, and the Raptors had a better record this season.
But forget about the regular season. How are they playing now? How have they played the last week against this team?
They've played very well.
They've played better. That's my point.
Well, I mean, if you count that last game should have been a win by the Celtics, yes, they have.
Yes,
better.
Yes, yes.
All right, we will be back. Well, let's talk a little Ray Lewis. Let's visit a little Ray Lewis. Why not? It's a Friday. We'll do that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, Ray Lewis, our good friend Ray Lewis has a podcast. And what a podcast it is.
It's called Everyday Greatness.
That's why I don't get into word.
Which every week he sits down with a gentleman who, I don't know, it was an old friend of his or someone who's inspirational. But he usually starts things off with a nice 10 to 15 minute monologue about how to be a better person, which of course we
it's
all know
in stereo.
It ain't mono. I guess it is in stereo. You can hear you in both speakers. Yes, it is. So, but Mr. Ray Lewis this week wants to inspire us. We have not checked in on his podcast in a while, so I am looking forward to this right now. So, do you have the clip there?
I do.
From Everyday Greatness? All right, let's take a listen.
Let's check in. I think a question I want to ask everybody out there, do you actually check in every day? Like, do you check in like every day? Like, to know, like, really Like, what makes you what determines if you're happy or not? Right? Because that check-in is so important, right? And I think that's why one of the biggest reasons I work out so much is because it's always a check-in. Like, you have to check in. Like, you can't.
Now, am I explaining this correctly? The check-in is to check in. I ain't got much for wording. You gotta check in.
Something tells me his show prep was a post-it note with the words check in on it.
Yeah, but you gotta check in. By check in, hang on. By check in, I mean to check in.
Okay, yes.
But check in, the definition, one who checks in.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But what does it mean, Ray Lewis?
Hot mom check in. What?
Hot mom check in.
Yeah, I'm looking for MILFs. Hot mom check in, call in. You ever check in with them MILFs?
This is MILF Finder, Ray Lewis. Is that what we're doing?
MILF Finder. Oh, look, I'm just having a beer with my buddy. Ooh, look at over there. She's coming out of the grocery store. Look at that MILF. MILFs want it bad.
That's right. MILF Hunter Ray Lewis.
MILF Hunter Ray Lewis. Oh, no, look at the soccer game. She don't got no ring on. Look at that MILF. Your baby's daddy's going to take the kid home. That's time for Ray Lewis to get the bone in. MILF Hunter Ray Lewis. I got a goatee and I'm short.
Goatee and you're short.
Yeah, I'm the MILF Hunter. I own a bar now in Daytona.
MILF Hunter, Rich. Stay with us.
Fort Lauderdale. I own a bar in Fort Lauderdale at the last check-in.
Hang on. So MILF Hunter is a person. It's not just like a series of
moves. No, it's okay. He's the MILF Hunter.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, the MILF Hunter is short. He's got a goatee and he's balding. And yet somehow, amazingly, he scores all of these women.
There was one MILF Hunter where I played ping pong for an inordinately long time. I was just enjoying it, apparently.
So how does this MILF Hunter indeed woo the ladies? Okay.
I will go to a shopping center and I'll sit outside and enjoy a beer with one of my good friends, and then here comes a MILF, and then I walk up and I kick my game.
Okay.
Let me help you with the groceries. Ooh, look at them boobies. And things move along very fast. But I end up boning.
Got 100% success rate, Rich. It's really remarkable.
And then I talked to my friend during the boning session. The friend who's holding the camera, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It gets kind of like...
So he brings his friend with him?
Yeah,
how is she going to get it on film, Rich?
It's sort of gay at times, but...
All right, there you go.
MILF Hunter Ray Lewis.
Yeah, 100 mils.
A phrase I never thought I would be saying this morning, but God bless it.
I disguise myself as a bag of groceries.
Just get on a bike and just act like it's normal. No, you have to check in. There's some called check in and check out.
All right, you got to get on a bike and act like it's normal.
It's always a check in. Like, you have to check in. Like, you can't just get on a bike and just act like it's normal. No, you have to check in.
That makes all the sense in the world.
It's amazing nonsense. I mean,
you're riding a bike. Have you checked in yet? Don't look normal.
Riding a bike never looks normal.
You're doing cherry pickers. You're sitting on your handlebars and you're doing an endo. I don't like endos. They go forward instead of back. Give me a wheelie. Acting like it's normal. You're like Bizarro Superman.
The kid from Rad.
Yeah, tabletop. All right. I'm going off on real bad tangents that no one understands.
There's some called check in and check out. Because sometimes too much information is way too much, and sometimes too less information is way too much. What I'm asking is, what are we checking into? The bottom line in life is consistency. We become what we want to be. By consistency, I became consistent with what I started to eat. Then I became consistent on my language, on not using foul language. The things I started to see because of my consistency.
I decided not to make any sense.
Your career. That's what I'm saying. Consistent with my verb usage.
I made a concerted effort at Miami never to make sense again.
What's a conjunction?
Because you're like, oh, your diet, that makes sense. You're like an elite athlete. And then he goes right to his language.
Well, I failed. I keep, every day I forget to check in when I do this podcast.
But there's a lot of work. And that work is called consistently chasing greatness. See ya.
Wait for it.
Chasing greatness.
Let me hear that one more time, Frank. What is he saying?
Chasing.
Okay.
Greatness.
It's enough time for Joe Biden to fart there.
Yeah, Biden would have farted during that gap.
No question.
Okay. See, a lot of people talk about greatness, but it's okay to talk about it. I'm talking about when you walked in those steps and you're trying to figure it out now, consistently. When I became consistently a film studier, I don't think, I'm telling you.
All right. Listen, you're with two ladies. You got to focus on both of them. MILF Hunter Ray Lewis.
See, I thought he was going to be Criterion Collection Ray Lewis.
Oh, Criterion Collection. All right. Here we go. I'll tell you what. Carrot Top in his movie, Chairman of the Board. What?
I don't think that Chairman of the Board would be in the Criterion Collection. I don't think that that's esteemed enough of a film, Mr. Movie Critic Ray Lewis.
All right, look at... we're watching Caddyshack 2.
Okay, now we're talking.
Look at Dan Aykroyd. He's a silly guy. He's trying to blow up the golf course. Jackie Mason. Look at him. He wants to be the bike seat.
Did you ever see the movie Screwballs? Movie reviewer Ray Lewis?
Screwballs is a tale of as old as time. Men, boys becoming men.
Okay. Right.
On spring break, screwballing around. Looking to get in some sexing. All right. Hard bodies.
Hard bodies.
Why won't you show boobies? You're frustrating a 12-year-old Fred Toucher. Show boobies already.
It's at Hard Bodies 1 or 2 that we're talking about here.
Hard Bodies 1, 2, I understood. There was some loose ends they had to tie up.
I think I actually have a scene for that movie.
Okay.
Damn you old, that was the dean trying to get down on the hard body crew. Dean Snuffleupagus, you so mean to the hard body boys.
Dean Snuffleupagus.
The hard body boys just want to have fun in a lingerie party. Why are you trying to mess it up? You got the president of the student council. He's a nerd. He's trying to shut down the hard party.
You remember a lot about hard bodies.
I just am assuming that was the plot.
Okay, all right. I think you're getting that mixed up.
It was either a police chief or a dean from the school.
I'm not quite sure.
And some nerd that can't get down with the effing. Hey, Poindexter. Look at the boobies. You'll change your tune.
No.
All right. So very good. That went in a lot of directions, but we can do that again some other day. All right, Rich, what's coming up in the stack?
Well, we're going to talk about another sport.
You can't just get on a bike and just act like it's normal.
Okay, no, you can't.
Absolutely.
You know
not.
What? I think we may have the reaction. Skip Bayless, as he returns to television today.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
if you would like to hear that.
Yeah, right.
And then speaking of 80s movies, I actually have a promo to play you guys. Did you know that the Ghostbusters movie had a theme song ready to go before the famous Ray Parker Jr. one?
Oh, no.
We actually have that. It's the original Ghostbusters theme before they, and they actually made a promo that never got released, and I have that.
All right, we will hear that in just a moment. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now, more Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what are we going to do first, though? I have to ask Johnny Boy. John.
Yes, we have a sponsor of this segment.
That's right.
It's Window Big Nation. Window Nation brings us the stack. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Well, first, I mentioned this earlier in the show. I saw Joe Murray freak out yesterday when they announced the referees that were going to be in tonight's game for the Celtics. Scott Foster, Zach Zarba, two of the four officials that have been assigned. And to that, Joe tweeted, "This is unbelievable. You can't make this stuff up." So, I know that Scott Foster's got a reputation. I just didn't know how it affected the Celtics and what their record was. But you should feel a little bit better because after my crack research here, Scott Foster apparently is 1-0 in the playoffs for the Celtics, pro Celtics. He is 2-0, Zach Zarba, 2-0 in the playoffs. The other two guys are 2-2 and 1-0. So whether or not they're crooked and there might be a lifetime worth of games that Scott Foster has against the Celtics, as far as the actual bubble itself is concerned, they have been very fair.
Did they have Toronto?
Yep. Scott Foster is 1-0 in the playoffs with Toronto, which is same thing as with the Celtics. Zach Zarba is 1-1 with the Raptors, where he's 2-0 with the Celtics. David Guthrie with the Raptors is 2-1. He's 2-2 with the Celtics. And Trey Maddox is 2-1 with the Raptors and 1-0 with the Celtics. So almost everything leans Celtics. Mm. So there you go. If you're into that kind of thing, I did the research for you. By the way, speaking of the NBA season, this was an interesting story that came out yesterday from Shams Charania of The Athletic. He said that it looks like, more than likely, the next season won't begin earlier than Christmas Day. Everything has been fluid, but right now it seems to be that is the date they're either looking to start, but definitely no earlier than that. That just sounds right, doesn't it, to you?
Yes.
That Christmas Day is the big opening day. They make a huge deal out of it. It's obviously a huge ratings day. It takes over the entire lineup from what, like a noon tip-off all the way till, you know, the 9 o'clock game. That sounds to me that's probably the way they're going to go. By the way, Skip Bayless not addressed on his television show what he said yesterday.
It's really?
All about the pigskin. They've come on. I will say this. Tell you this, though. Skip Bayless wearing a sweet chain today. I mean, just like wearing a black shirt and just the sweetest of ice around his neck.
Nice. Is it a some kind of religious icon on it, or is it just
I don't know what it is, but it's got a lot going on. It's like it got a little loop coming out the side, and it's, you know, got a little, if anyone has any idea, Dan in the other room, I know you've been watching it as well. But he is not
more mesmerized. It's like a black velour sweater that he has on all the way up to the neck. And then a black jacket, Fred, and he has a gold chain rocking the outside. But
yeah, how could you be depressed if you're sporting that kind of rope chain?
It's got some sweet ice just to mesmerize
you. It's almost as if nothing ever happened. They're just like, yeah, how about that game last night?
He's just picking up chicks at the food court.
Well, I think they know we're all suckers and everyone's waiting, and that's keeping people tuned in, which means ratings for them. So maybe that's actually a smart idea on the programming part side of things. All right, so Ghostbusters. This was a little thing that kind of got released out of nowhere over the past week. So when a movie came out, I don't know if they still do this, but apparently back in the 80s, the stars of the movie would make a little promo video to try to get movie theater chains to carry their film. And back when Ghostbusters came out, this is a pretty big budget film for a bunch of guys who really hadn't made many big budget films yet. A lot of the stuff they had made was kind of lower budget. And Ghostbusters at the time kind of broke the bank of the studio. So they were doing everything to push this. So this was a video that was given to the distributors, the movie theater distributors, and it was Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray standing out in front of the Ecto-1. This is before the movie obviously had been released, and it ends with the logo and the theme song to Ghostbusters before apparently they got Ray Parker Jr. to rip off Huey Lewis in the news. Let's take a listen to the promo.
Perhaps the greatest comedy motion picture of all time.
I mean, this is going to make E.T. look like Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be one HFM. You know what I mean? This is going to be the kind of thing that your children are going to say, Dad, I can look up to you now, and I never could before. Isn't it worth it? God, I mean, we made a lot of cheap movies for you guys. It made a lot of money, but now we kind of spend a little more than we're supposed to.
Columbia Pictures has spared no expense to make this a fine science fiction comedy spectacle.
What a bunch of good sports they are.
And it is PG. Oh, I'm telling you, it's PG.
It's going to be an exciting time for all of us. And I really hope that you can all be a part of this. And if not, well, it's all right. We got some Canadian Film Board stuff we want you to look at.
Okay, and then it cuts off and it goes to the logo at this place.
Ghostbusters. The brave, the best, the only Ghostbusters.
That's every 80s cover movie ever.
That's opening credits of every 80s, like, wacky comedy.
Moving,
I mean, listen.
Violations.
That's right. That's moving. That's Summer Rental,
right?
And she thinks she needs an oil change, so she goes to the oil change place.
I mean, that's like, that's going berserk. You know, that is every 80s wacky madcap comedy, The Great Outdoors.
Moving violations when I move.
Yep. Watch me.
I'm so happy you remember that.
Bill Murray's brother.
Ghost.
Yes.
The star of Moving Violations.
That's correct.
Brian Doyle? Murray?
No, the younger brother.
Like an unheard of brother.
Oh, the unheard of brother. That was his. He was actually in the movie Scrooged with him, if you remember. But Bill Murray's younger brother played his younger brother in the movie Scrooged.
Yeah, but
Moving
Violations was a starring vehicle.
That was his only starring vehicle. I forget his name, but that he stars in that movie.
I remember nothing about that film. I know I've seen it.
Go look
I
it
know
up. It
I've
has
seen
the
it.
It has the Where's the Beef girl woman. Yeah. Seriously.
The old lady?
The old lady's
and
in that.
A hint, spoiler alert, she's not good at driving.
No. And
I see.
Meg Tilly?
Meg Tilly is Tilly. The bombshell. She's the love interest.
That's right, in the movie. Yes.
Yeah. That movie might have been on every day for 5 years.
Yes. we're sharing a moment here, Fred. Yeah. We are, because I remember all of this.
Yeah, yes. I played with myself to that thing. A young Meg Tilly, why not?
I just love the story of how when they went to the studios, they're like, all right, I want to get, like they said, I want a new drug. So they basically went to Huey Lewis. They wanted Huey Lewis to do the Ghostbusters theme. And Huey Lewis said, nah, man, I'm making movie soundtracks that rule, like the ones for Back to the Future. I don't need your money. And so they just straight up ripped off I Want a New Drug and changed the lyrics. Like if you hear those two songs like side by side, it's I Want a New Drug with different lyrics. There's no question. I believe there might have even been a lawsuit, and I think Huey Lewis might have actually won, and maybe it's because they saw that theme song and said, you know what, one of these something a little better than this.
Yes. No Huey, no news, baby.
Ghostbusters.
They didn't even really try. They just said, hey, make this song.
Getting right with the Ghostbusters.
Well,
I do applaud, by the way, Bill Murray, his total lack of caring about doing that. His complete ambivalence to that whole thing is fantastic.
It's like it's actually like a 3-minute clip, and it's pretty funny because it sounds like someone just, hey, can you just do this for me, please? You know, some guys just do it, like, all right, and they just sit there and they're like laughing at each other.
Yeah,
and
Bill Murray just, because Aykroyd wrote it and everything. I think he wrote it with Ramis, and it's like, so he's really invested in it. And Murray didn't care. He didn't care at all. Just like,
I saw that movie recently. It's still pretty good. Like, the original Ghostbusters is pretty funny. Like, Bill Murray's pretty good at it. And you know what? Speaking of that, did you see, you know, the story of Rick Moranis is pretty amazing. So Rick Moranis, man, maybe like 25 years ago, it's been a long time, longer than you'd think, he just disappeared. And for years, people didn't know what was going on. His wife had died. And so he quit all sorts of, like, quit entertainment completely just so he could raise his kids. And, like, he's been offered a ton of different roles, and he keeps just saying, no, thank you, no, that's fine. So now his kids are all grown. Did you see, like, the first thing that he's done?
Yeah.
Boy, it was that commercial with Ryan Reynolds, and it was basically just Ryan Reynolds saying, dude, I'm a fan. And he's like, that's what you got me out here for? He's like, yeah. And that was the end of the commercial.
It's just like, look at Rick Moranis, and then you feel sad.
There's a speculation that Rick Moranis is going to show up in that new Ghostbusters, which was supposed to already be out. And they did it. They're fairly smart. They got Paul Rudd to be like the main guy. He's not the Ghostbuster, but I guess they find the Ecto-1, and it's like Rick Moranis' granddaughter that ends up finding it.
They did it dark, though, right? It's not comedy.
No. Oh, yeah, it's a comedy.
Is it? I thought the way it was portrayed in the movie trailer, it looked like it was just a darker type of deal.
No, slime me.
Oh, sorry.
What is that?
I don't want to get slimed.
Is this like Ghostbuster Ray Lewis? I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah, I ain't afraid of them. Gross, they look like big boogers. Gross.
Buster.
Grody. Right. Gag me with a spoon. That's grody.
There's something smoky floating through the air here.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Joe Biden.
Totally tubular.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. That'll do it for us. Bye.
Just get on the bike and just act like it's normal. No. Because sometimes too much information is way too much, and sometimes too less information is way too much.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.